Welcome to the Intertidal Talks podcast. I am Kendra, marine biologist and your host. This podcast is meant to teach, inform, and entertain you about all things marine science and conservation. If you are a marine scientist or advocate with a story to share, you can contact me at intertidaltalks@gmail.com. Want to join our marine science community? Join us at patreon.com/kendi_marinebio. Welcome back to Intertidal Talks, everyone. It has been a while, but today we're going to be talking to Bella Zandona. I love her stuff on Instagram, and so I had her come on to chat. And so why don't you introduce yourself and a little bit of intro, who you are, where you're from, and maybe what made you love marine science?
Yeah, totally. So I'm Isabella at Diving with Bella on Instagram and TikTok. And I am a scuba diver and also a marine biology student at the University of Oregon. I have always had a strong connection with the ocean, a strong love for the ocean since I was a little kid. My parents and I, we travel a lot. And it was mainly like to tropical places by the ocean, or they would take me to aquariums and stuff. So that's kind of where I think my love for the ocean first started. And then I went to SeaWorld before I learned more about SeaWorld when I was a kid. And I think that's really where my passion started, because I wanted to be a beluga trainer so badly. And then I think it just kind of fell down that rabbit hole.
I love that. And so you're at University of Oregon?
Yes, I am. Great people, great marine biology program there.
I see that they do have a great program from what I could see online. And what year?
So I'm a freshman right now, and I plan on studying octopuses, honestly, any cephalopod. I'm obsessed with cephalopods, and that's been my experience with them so far. I'm not on campus yet because of COVID, but hopefully in the fall.
Love that for COVID. And are you wanting to like do a master's with cephalopods, or just kind of riding the wave right now?
I think in the future, I'll definitely do a master's with cephalopods. But as of right now, the goal is to hopefully in the next few years do research with them, maybe an internship, you know, we'll see where that goes. But the goal hopefully will be to get my master's with cephalopods.
Okay, well, this is a great place. There's lots of octopus out here.
Yes, it is.
So when did you first start to scuba dive?
I started in 2018. I got my certification at Seattle Scuba. And now I'm advanced certified diver and a rescue diver. And I'm going for my dive master certification, hopefully in the summer. We'll see. But yeah, that's when I started.
This is all under Patty?
All under Patty, yeah.
Okay. So you have three certifications currently. Mm-hmm. How often would you say you dive?
I dive pretty much every week. It kind of depends on the workload with school. Sometimes it's twice a week if I get really lucky, but usually it's been on Sundays and we do two dives on Sundays. But if it's like spring break or summer break, we'll dive much more often.
So I just, do you wear a dry suit?
I do wear a dry suit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've never worn a dry suit. Can you talk about like what a dry suit is and like what, you know, everything about a dry suit?
Yes. Yeah. You actually have to get a specialty under Patty or whatever other, you know, scuba thing, but you have to get certified to use it because it's a little bit more different than a wetsuit. It does keep you dry. It's different with buoyancy, and you have to add, I especially had to add more weight instead of using a wetsuit to get myself neutrally buoyant in the water. And kind of like in the middle of your chest, there's basically a little pump and you can pump air to become buoyant through that. And I also wear dry gloves, which keeps my hands nice and warm and dry since the water here is so cold. So that's kind of why I wanted to get my certification with the dry suit.
So do you stay like completely dry and warm the whole time?
Yeah, well, usually sometimes, you know, it'll leak a bit through the neck seal or, and I had wet gloves before I got my dry gloves and my hands would get wet and cold. But for the most part, you stay dry. Yeah.
Have you ever not done a dry suit for scuba diving out here?
Yeah, when I first got my open water certification, I wasn't dry suit certified. And I did my open water classes in a 7 mil wetsuit. And oh my God, I was freezing the whole entire time. Like I could feel myself shaking underwater. I was so cold. For that, my dad and I, he's my dive buddy, we instantly got our dry suit certification so we can dive dry.
The thing, everyone, I've gone out to a couple beaches and people have been out like getting out to dive and everyone's wearing dry suits. And I know like about dry suits, but they're not a thing in Hawaii. So I never saw them, bought one. I'd see them for sale on scuba websites. They're like $1,000. And I was like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Right.
And then this weekend I went and I just put on my 7 mil open cell just to get in the water to like see the effectiveness. Yeah. I did not wear booties, which was dumb. Yeah. My feet were freezing, but I was just literally sitting in the water, like just floating to like see how it works, to kind of see. It was super buoyant. I need way more weights, but I think that there were tons of scuba divers getting in the water and they were all very much staring at me. And I was like laughing my head off.
You can imagine
getting in the water with my hood on. And I've never dove with the hood. I've never worn that thick of a wetsuit. I've never worn an open cell wetsuit. So I was just like, this is weird. I feel weird and I'm just laughing and everyone's in their like big old dry suits.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I look very not like I fit in here.
Right? And like just diving in a wetsuit in this situation, I'm sure you will be a little bit warmer than a scuba diver if you're free diving, because I feel like you'll be moving a lot more, you know. But even getting used to like wearing hoods, I don't like wearing hoods. If I could dive without a hood, I would dive without a hood.
It's weird. But I think part of it too is I was looking on like Facebook groups. These divers were going down to like 195 feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is definitely not what I'm pushing here while free diving.
Yeah.
I don't even think I pushed that in Hawaii. I think the deepest I got was like 80 something.
That's impressive though.
And so I was like, no. But how deep? So on that, how deep do you usually go? What's like an average dive? What's the deepest? Then maybe like I think the shallowest is usually like what, 60? That's the basic open water.
Yeah, so after I got my advanced diver certification, I can dive to 100 feet, but I don't really tend to dive to 100 feet that often here in cold water, because I feel like most of the bigger life that I personally enjoy seeing more is in between like 60 and 80 feet. So I usually just stay around 80 feet for the most part on the dives here, but like tropical waters, I do like to go down to 100.
So what are some of your favorite creatures to see while diving, and what is there like a least favorite? I don't know. Then like I think in Hawaii, like least favorite to like trigger fish, because they're really annoying and they'll like bite you.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's a thing here. I don't know what.
I think well, definitely the giant Pacific octopuses are the best and most amazing animals. I'm a bit biased, but yeah, those are my favorite to see. Also any nudibranch. I love nudies. They are so cute. And wolf eels are very interesting and they love divers. Like they'll poke their heads out and they're super sweet animals. I've had some experiences with like some of the bigger crab species that we have here, like red crabs and stuff, and they will pinch you if you swim over them or swim by them. And one time I think I was swimming by, like, it was probably just a rock or a pile of something, and a crab got my finger, and it was a big crab, and he pinched me really hard. So now I have a kind of anger towards crabs.
So crabs are the least favorite. Weird how big crabs are here too, because I've seen people like catching them to eat them, and crabs in Hawaii are like teeny tiny. little hand sand crabs. So I'm like, what are these things? They're so big. Like I knew crabs get big, but I was like, these are so big. Yeah. It's so weird. But that's, you know, just a different ecosystem. And so one thing Viz here is they're like a good season, a bad, because I know basically other places. So I'm used to tropical diving. And so it's kind of like Viz is honestly decent all year, depending on what side you go on. And like, sometimes it's not, like if there's like a rainstorm and stuff runs off, you don't go diving because there's bad Viz, but pretty much all year round on Oahu, there's good Viz. That is not the case here. So like, what is like your dive season? Do you even take off of the off season? Like, do you just kind of bear through bad Viz?
Yeah, so the best season is winter because there's not a lot of like algae bloom that happens through the spring and summer, you know. And on good days, we'll have like 50 feet of viz, and that's like, oh my God, this is absolute heaven, best dive ever. But then when spring and summer come around, it's like, oh my God, I had 3 feet of visibility today, and that's as good as it gets, honestly. My dad and I, we dove a dive site called Octopus Hole, and we actually had to surface and cancel our dive because he was standing right next to me and I could barely see him. We had less of a foot of viz. So we called the dive off just because, you know, you can't see where we're going. And it was a new dive site for us too. So we didn't, you know, probably end up running into a rock or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, it gets bad here. It gets really bad.
That's so weird. But I've seen it. Like, I see the pictures and it's not great.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
So it's just interesting how different. And so you've dove in other places as well. Where else have you dove?
Yeah. My favorite tropical place is Cozumel. I think we did like a 1 to 2 weeks trip to Cozumel, and we dove cenotes and we dove shipwrecks and stuff like that, which was amazing. I've also been Dominican Republic. I dove Kona, Hawaii for the manta ray dives. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And we did Bonaire. Bonaire is beautiful, absolutely amazing place there. And just, you know, other places in Mexico, we love going. And I love diving warm water. Like, it is so much fun.
Does your whole family dive or just you and your dad?
It's just me and my dad.
Okay. Do you have siblings and your mom, do they just hang out?
I don't have siblings and my mom does hang out. She does tag along with us when we go on trips and stuff. But she is not much of a water person. Like, she'll enjoy my photos and going to aquariums and stuff like that. But if you want to get her in the ocean, it has to be very warm water because she will not go in.
Yeah. She just waves bye. See you later. So did your dad dive? Was he diving before, or did you guys get everything done together?
We got everything done together. I dragged him into it, and thank God he loved it, and he's very obsessed with it now. He always asks me, like, when are we diving? You know, all the time. So I'm very blessed to have a dad who can tag along with me on these adventures. It worked out perfectly, honestly.
Since you and your dad dive together, I'm guessing you and dive really frequently, I'm guessing you own all your own dive gear. I'm guessing that cuts down the cost, but like getting your air tank filled, like what would be like a weekly cost? Cause I know for me, I don't scuba dive because it costs so much. I have my certification, but I just don't, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think the biggest limit with scuba diving, if you really want to get into it, is costs. And there's always ways, you know, to work around it, but I think air is about $10 per tank, so it adds up really easily. Thankfully we do have all our own gear, like we own our tanks, we own our camera stuff, BCD, all that stuff. But before that, we were renting all of that from Seattle Scuba, and that was also very costly. So if you plan on diving a lot, I think it is better to buy your own gear just because rental costs are insane. If you lose something, you have to pay for it. I don't think it's really that worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, invest in the the good stuff when it comes to gear, because that's what's keeping you alive down there, you know. Like, invest on a good regulator and a good clean tank, because that's your lifeline. And I think a lot of people need to take care of it more.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think I know some other people who like own their own BCDs and then just rent the tanks. And that definitely makes it cheaper, which if it was only $10 to fill tank, I'm like, that's not bad. If you're
it's not, but it does every
weekend or whatever. Yeah. So that makes sense. I don't have the money to do so. So with diving, what has been your best, or maybe some of your best diving experiences, whether it's like a cool animal popped up, just great viz, great overall dive, and then what have been the worst, or maybe some of your least favorite dives?
So best dives here in Seattle have been all the dives where I've been able to encounter giant Pacific octopuses. And I have gotten really familiar with the GPOs at my favorite dive site. It's called Sun Rock, and there's always GPOs there like year round. And that's a very big, you know, nesting place for them to lay their eggs. So there's always mama octos there. And I have my favorite octopus, her name is Bubbles. She's on eggs right now, so I don't get to see her as much. But she's, if you scroll down my Instagram a bit, I don't know if you've seen this video, but she's the octopus, and like, she came right up to me and she grabbed my hand, and I felt really connected to octopuses that day. So anything with octopuses makes my whole entire dive. And then that same dive site, the first time that we dove Sun Rock, everything was perfect. We had like clear water. It looked like a swimming pool. Honestly, there was like no waves or anything like that. And then we were down there for, I think, like 50 minutes before I started to get cold, and we came back up. But we came back up during a windstorm, a very, very bad windstorm, and the waves really picked up. And we got like, you know, like 3 feet waves. Like, it was crashing. It was crazy. And we had to get out, and it's a very rocky slope to get out of the water on that specific dive site. So, damaged the camera, we lost a weight pocket. It was such a mess to get out of the water. And I think that was like one of my most terrifying experiences that I've had, because like, you would stand up and the water would crash over you and you would fall. And it was just such a mess. And my dad was worried about me. I had to worry about him. So I think that was my biggest scary experience with diving, and it was kind of out of my control, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're like heavily weighted.
I am heavily weighted,
and that's hard.
Yeah, it was very tough.
When I got my certification, we did it at Shark's Cove in Oahu, mm-hmm. and so it was annoying. But I had like, I don't even know how much weight I had. I had a crap ton of weight. I was my whole BCD tank, all the little weights shoved in all the pockets everywhere, and I was wearing a full wetsuit. It was boiling hot. We had to walk all the way down from the parking lot down into the cove, and then dive, and then walk all the way up. And doing it, I was like, I'm tired. This sucks. The next day I woke up and I could not move.
Oh my God.
That's way less weight than I imagine you're doing. Better condition.
Yeah.
But like, even sometimes getting out while free diving with like rough weather, I've gotten thrown on a rock and have a scar on my leg. And had like 4 pounds of weight and a 1.5 millimeter wetsuit like slightly rainy Hawaii day.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine. I feel like I'd be terrified. And like rocky beaches, totally different.
Yeah. It was in the beaches there. There's like a lot of clams and oysters on the rocks, and those are so sharp. And getting out, we literally had to crawl out like on our hands and knees to even be able to get out of the water. Because you could just not stand up. It would like throw you over instantly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. This is a side thing, but with all the, like the mussels and clams, whatever on rocks, is there like an etiquette people have about like not stepping on? Cause sometimes you just kind of have to.
Yeah, no, I get it.
People who are like, don't do that. Or is it pretty much just like, oh my gosh, they're everywhere. It's fine.
Especially with Sun Rock, they're literally everywhere. The Hood Canal, which is where Sun Rock is like probably one of the best places ever to go clamming and oystering because they're literally everywhere. So I think, and the permit, you don't even need to get a permit for it because it's, they've basically become like invasive there. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people care as much in that area because there's really no way around it.
Yeah.
But I've had people like swipe up on my story before when I go tide pooling and I'm like holding a crab or holding a shell and they're like, do you ever like step on them? Do you ever like, and why do you pick them up? Isn't that bad and stuff? And I'm just like, I mean, I'm not like, if you're going to the beach, it's kind of hard not to step on some animals because they're there.
Yeah. Well, that's like, we've gone to beaches and there was like one area that was literally every freaking rock that you're walking on was completely covered in mussel. And we were like, are people going to like walk by and be like, hey, that's, they don't do that. Because I've had people like swipe. I've had someone in last week reply to a comment I left on a Facebook post in a marine biology group saying that I should delete my profile picture because I was holding sea urchins and it's encouraging bad behavior. And I was like, okay, first off, these are rock boring urchins. They are the most resilient little like urchins that are everywhere. And they were out of the water line. And I was doing my senior photos, which is why I was holding them, picked them up, put them back somewhere else. But of course, like, I love sea urchins. I'm holding them. I hold sea urchins all the time. But there definitely is like, I feel like it comes around more with, because people who are like really hardcore scuba divers or are just animal rights people versus like free divers. This is not always, but I definitely feel like free divers tend to be the ones touching. Like, I've held octopus in Hawaii and all that kind of stuff. So do scuba divers, but you know, there is like that rule that you're taught. Yeah. Take only pictures, leave them like bubbles, don't touch animals. I just think it's an interesting kind of like difference of culture. I don't know if you've noticed that or if out here it's more serious, like don't touch anything, don't pick up anything when you're in the water, not tide pooling. I feel like most people when tide pooling, they tend to pick up some things.
No, I agree with you. It is a bit controversial. Like the octopuses here, they always come up to you because they're so curious and they're so used to divers now. At least I think they're used to divers, I'm assuming. That they'll like come up and they'll basically greet you and stuff. And that video with Bubbles, it's very obvious that she's the one reaching out to me and like grabbing my hand. And I've had people like comment or DM me and they're like, why would you touch this animal? I'm like, I didn't, she touched me. Like, you can have experiences with animals. I'm not harassing them or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gentle and you're kind, you know, that's just kind of it. Yeah.
I think it's just interesting. There's very much like a, cause I'm always very vocal about like, don't touch or like chase dolphins, obviously like big animals. Sea turtles was a big thing. People just whatever with sea turtles. And, but like little inverts. One is I love inverts. So I'm like, come on, don't hold them all. But I've had people less on my account, my friend's account be like, why would you do that with a starfish? This is awful. Like you're whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just find it, I like getting other people's views on it because I have friends who are very much like touch nothing. Mm-hmm. But are also understanding that like there are ways you can interact with an animal that is safe and not stressful. Like if you're gonna do a starfish or something, if you're gonna pick it up, you can kind of feel how tightly they're holding on to a rock. And if it's way too tight, don't do it because you might rip off their feet. But a lot of times there are certain urchin species like collector's urchins in Hawaii are usually really loose. You can like just gently blow on them and they fall off. Whereas the pencil urchins, the red slate pencil urchins are so freaking like rock onto their substrate or whatever they're hooked onto that I've only really ever gotten them when they're younger, where you surprise them was one of my methods, or a dead one. I've held dead ones that have just been floating around.
Right.
But like people don't know that. So I definitely see like the danger if you post and are not like disclaiming anything. But I don't know. I find it really interesting. And I do feel like there's almost, it's kind of a scuba v freediver thing. Like almost like a difference in the dive culture between the two. And it probably varies on location too, I realize. Like Whereas maybe here for both, it's a big deal. I also know from what I have heard and experienced here, there's a big thing about certifications, even with free diving. And there's a very much like, if you don't have a certification, you don't dive with us.
Exactly.
Besides scuba, I understand for scuba, but for free diving, which is definitely not how that works in Hawaii, people have certifications basically if they want to teach, or usually for competition, or because you could afford it. But it's very, it's very interesting, like how dive culture is very different in other places. I don't know if you've experienced that, like on your vacations,
yes,
Washington culture. Yeah. So what, tell me about that.
Yeah. So I think, especially when I go to, you know, places like Mexico or, you know, anywhere in the Caribbean island area, they're definitely more chill about diving. And I feel like my instructors here in Seattle, they're definitely more like, oh, you're doing this wrong. This is how you do it. Oh, you're doing this wrong, you know, blah, blah, blah. And when I dive warm tropical areas, it's definitely more like, let's just chill and have a good dive and just not die. Like rule number one, don't die, basically.
Yeah.
And I think divers here are a bit more judgmental than in other places. I think it's maybe because the element of diving in cold water is a little bit more restrictive, and not everyone wants to do it, or not everyone can do it. And so I think they get a little bit more defensive about that. But yeah, and I think the difference also, what you brought up without like scuba diving certifications and stuff, like if you're just an open water diver, you're not that cool. Like, come on, where's your dry suit? You know, where's all that stuff? So I think there's definitely kind of a weird difference between cold and warm water diving.
Yeah, well, it might partially too, I feel like the safety hazards, I feel like, you know, viz is obviously going to be more sketchy somewhere like up here in the PNW. So people might just be, I like, I've seen a couple people be like, I won't dive with a novice diver because of safety, which part of me is like, okay, well, how are they going to learn if they're not having people go out and be willing to help them? You don't break out of that novice area without someone putting in the effort to help you. But I also understand like safety hazard, and it can be annoying, but it is, I would say, like more risky to dive here. So I slightly understand it. Yeah. But when it comes to like this, it's like just this weird thing about like, you don't have a certification. I kind of see it. I don't want to say classist, but it's very like a lot of people can't afford to get like a free diving certification. I was talking to a dive shop owner out here, and he was like, I grew up diving. I've been diving for 16 years in the Mediterranean, free diving and spearfishing. And he still gets like not welcomed into dive groups because he doesn't have a certification. Wow. I was like, that's so weird, because like that happened. Like there are a lot of spear fishermen in Hawaii that aren't certified. And they, I was talking to one of them on a tour in Maui about how, oh, I'm a free diver and I'm really excited, like what's a good dive spot out in Maui. He was like, oh, these, the, and I think I said something about how I wanted to get a certification. He was like, why? I've been diving since I was a teenager. I could dive to 100 feet, get a fish and dive back up in 2 minutes. And that's like totally normal. Like, and there's very much less of a certification culture. And then I came out here in like Facebook groups. And then now by word of mouth, people are like, be careful. Like people are really like, it's all weird, like clicky almost.
It is very clicky. I've definitely
noticed. So I don't know like if it's the same in scuba, which
I don't know why. Like, I mean, I guess I don't have too much experience with free diving, so I don't really know how it, I don't know how the certification course for it goes or how much it costs, but I'm sure it costs a lot. But I feel like from what I've seen on the outside, like I said, I don't have any free diving experience, but it seems definitely easier to go free diving than it is, you know, scuba diving, because it's just you and the water, you know, it's you connecting with the water basically. Obviously you have to worry about weights, and in your case now you have to worry about your thick wetsuit, but yeah, like it seems like if you want to start free diving, just go to the water and start free diving, you know, obviously safely, but you know.
Yeah. Well, and then, and I get like with the scuba thing, if people are weird about like what level of certification you have, I just think it's so weird because someone can like be in open water and dive all the time and just not be able to afford to get like the master's or something else, but just be able to like go out. Or sometimes free divers have scuba certifications, but can't afford it, like to go out further, or can't afford even like a free diving certification. Cause like, I think entry level for most are around like 300 to 400, depending on it. Then there's safety courses that don't get you a certification that are like $100, but you're unofficially certified with those. So it's like, why?
Right.
They're kind of they're good for if you just want to be safe, but I would always say I would rather just save up and get the official cert. But it's just, I think it's really, because it's just new, because coming from somewhere else where I was diving for like 3 years, very much a part of the dive community. And then coming up here, it just is very different, which I wasn't expecting. It's very welcoming in Hawaii. And not that it's not welcoming here.
But it's a little bit different. It's definitely like a different kind of welcoming. It's like, we'll welcome you, but how deep can you go? How long can you hold your breath? What is your certification? It's kind of more like.
Yeah. Well, that's, I posted in a group like, hey, I'm new here. I just moved. I'm a free diver. And most of the comments were, there was one weird person who was like, I would like to scuba with you. And it was some like old guy. I was like, no. But past that, like most people were like nice. They were like, oh, here are some spots, but Viz sucks. And a couple comments kind of came off as like, oh, well, here's very different. I was like, I didn't think it was the same, but thank you.
Yeah.
It's just, and then most of it I've seen from other conversations, like someone else asking, hey, I'm a new diver. And then the reactions being like, I don't want to dive with you if you're novice.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck? I took my friends out all the time just for fun. I'd be like, do you want to borrow my fins? I'll sit at the top and you can try them. Right. And I'd be cautious with weight belts just because weight belts can get kind of like risk, but it's still, it was like, it's fun. It's like Frida and like, again, it is very different. And I think, I do think part of the water safety is playing into it. A 100-foot Clarid like Viz in Hawaii is very different than a 10-foot Viz here. So it's just very funny. And I was wondering if someone who is a regular diver here also notices it.
Yeah, I have definitely noticed the difference. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just, but I guess there's a lot of communities that are like that. I think with like sports and just really anything, is people get like weird gatekeepy. But I hate
that stuff.
It's annoying. Yeah. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. But I think there's, I don't think everyone out here, there are some good people I've met who are also like new divers and are just having fun. Yeah. But that's, it's kind of a struggle trying to get a dive community in a place like that. But do you, besides you and your dad, do you have like other people you dive with, or is it just kind of like you two and your dive shop?
Yeah. It's basically just us two, unless we're doing a certification or getting a specialty. I have people like ask me all the time on Instagram, like, can I come dive with you? I never know what to say to that kind of stuff, but it's mainly just been me and my dad, unless we travel and then there's like groups of people, cause we're being led around, you know, but yeah.
Like none of your friends scuba dive?
None of my friends do. They're so lame. I tell them all the time, get certified. Come on.
Does your university offer some kind of like scuba club?
They have scuba club. They also have scuba classes that I think it's with Patty as well. And you actually get credit for it. So hopefully I will meet more scuba divers when I get to campus. Cause if you can get credit for it, that's even better, you know?
Yeah. Well, cause I always tell people like message me like, oh, it's so expensive to get certified. How'd you do it? And my school, we got certified through our club and they actually had a cheaper rate if you did it that way. So I'm always like, maybe check your school if you're located near the water and see if there's some kind of scuba club, because they were just partnered with a shop who did like a group rate. And then we'd have specific dives for all the students. And then we got like cheaper rates than if you were just a tourist going on that dive, which I was like, that helped me to get some dives in. That's what I suggest. So I just don't know if that's a thing other places, but it's definitely, I think it makes it more accessible for students to be able to do it in college for a cheaper rate, or at least with like a group of people, maybe, you know, especially if you're alone, like you go to college somewhere and you're not like lucky and can do it with your dad beforehand. Like if I made a couple friends during my little certification class, it was really interesting. One kid could barely swim. Yeah. So that was, it was weird.
Yeah.
And
yeah, some people need more experience before they get in the water.
Yeah, they should. There was, it was interesting, you know, but like you still were able to like make friends and be social in doing so, which like helped me to feel more comfortable. Whereas if it was just like random group of other adult strangers who I have nothing in common with, and like really, like, I don't know. I just think that that's really cool. And that's what I like to tell students is like, maybe if you're going to school, look for a scuba club. If anything, just get your pool certifications done and then wait to get your open water dives for the certification if you go on like vacation. Because I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. And that works well for people too, especially if you want to be certified. Well, especially here, if you want to be certified, but you don't want to do diving here, you want to like, you know, when you go to Mexico or whatever, you want to dive there, and people do their pool dives here with us. And then they, you know, travel and get the rest of their cert, which is convenient.
Which makes sense. And like, if it makes you feel safer, like be comfortable when you dive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, definitely.
Not lastly, but what tips maybe would you give aspiring divers?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of tips, especially from my personal experiences, but definitely before you even get in the pool, before you even start your diver certification, be comfortable with the water, be comfortable with the ocean. Like if you think you're gonna see a big animal and freak out, or if you get claustrophobic, especially, you know, diving might not be the thing for you, and that's okay. There's other ways to connect with the ocean. But yeah, just like be comfortable with the ocean, be comfortable with the water. And find like a place, a shop that works with you and for you, instead of, you know, maybe cold water diving isn't for you. Wait till you can be somewhere where you're more comfortable, because being comfortable in the water is probably the best thing ever. Cause if you're not, it just leads to accidents and leads, you know, to negative experiences, which is never good. Also, if you can buy your own gear, if it's possible for you, renting stuff isn't always the best. Places don't always have, you know, the best equipment. Like in some places I've traveled, no amount of money you could give me to put that regulator in my mouth. You know, some places don't take care of their stuff. So like, if you can, especially buy yourself a regulator.
Oh my gosh. I wore a banged up wetsuit for my scuba certification. I think like the knee pad was like falling off. I think there were holes in the feet. Oh, no, not the feet. My socks had holes in them. Yes. And it was, I could like barely get it on. But yeah. And on, the claustrophobic thing. That is why I don't like hoods. I'm not even a claustrophobic person, but when I put my hood on, just, I think I have to get used to the pressure on my neck, which was super weird.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I'm literally not claustrophobic. I don't love cave diving. Like, and it's not a claustrophobic thing. It's more of a, oh my gosh, what if I for some reason run out of breath and I'm like trapped down here?
Yeah.
But when I put on the hood, and even when I was just walking around, it was putting like a weird pressure like right on my jugular. And I was like,
yeah, no, I get it.
I hate this. I'm going to panic. Yeah. So that's part, like another reason why I just wanted to sit in my suit and float and get used to it before I actually went diving in it, which I've never had to do, but I do think that's important now, like with a totally new suit. I'm like,
oh yeah,
just get used to how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And cause it's so weird. It like, you can't move the same way. They're so freaking thick.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do not have a lot of mobility. Especially, I have a latex neck seal that keeps the water, usually keeps the water from coming in my dry suit.
I'd be allergic to that.
Oh my God, are you?
I'm allergic to latex.
God, that's awful. Oh God, that would make it even worse for you. Jeez, that's awful. Oh my God, I could not imagine, because I have latex on my, on my wrist now I have silicone, but you can also do it with silicone. Yeah. But, yeah, it's really uncomfortable. When I first got my custom dry suit, the neck seal was so tight, you kind of have to loosen it up, you know, have to wear it in. And I was like, oh my God, am I even going to be able to breathe in this thing? It's awful.
Yeah. I was thinking, I got an Oceaner suit in the summer, and it was so tight at first. But this thing, just neoprene, you kind of got to wear in. Like, they tend to be a little bit tight when you first get them. Mm-hmm. Even like my XL wetsuits, when I first got, like, they felt a little tight. But yeah. When you were diving without a dry suit, was it closed cell or open cell?
It was closed cell, I'm pretty sure. And it was kind of weird because you had to like, it was like two pieces. You had to put the pants on and then like went over your shoulder. And then there was like a weird long shirt thing that you go, you know, you put on top. So it wasn't like a easy wetsuit to put on. Oh God, it was so uncomfortable too. It was not fun.
Yeah, mine is an open cell and I was very warm. But again, I was only floating on the water.
Basically, that's true.
But so like, you know, but open cells just slick to your skin, probably basically like what the silicone or latex is doing, but your whole skin barrier, you have to wear lube to get it on. This is my lube. It's right next to me. It's called Shark Snot. It's made of seaweed.
Oh, that's cute.
And cool. I just have to spray my body down with it and then spray the suit and just quickly like throw it on while I'm still wet.
Yeah.
Very fun. Is that like
fun? Yeah. I think
are dry suits hard to put on?
Yeah. Okay. Dry suits are really hard to put on. So I had a dry suit from Scuba Pro when I first got certified and we first bought our dry suit. And it was, I think it's just, with all the undergarments that I wear so many layers because I get cold so easily. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I think it was a little too small for me. So it was such a, oh my God, I would like be sweaty, especially in the summer. Awful, awful, awful. I mean, the suit is good. Like I would recommend the suit, but it was just like a little too tight for me. And then I got my custom dry suit from DUI and it's so much easier to put on. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like it was really worth the budget with that suit.
Yeah. So like are there specific brands maybe you like more than like you would suggest to new divers versus others, like if they're going to maybe go for not a custom, what's like a good, what are good brands to stick with? Like are there any bad ones in like the scuba, what are they, dry suit world?
Yeah So I think DUI is definitely the best I think you can do. They do offer customs, which is very pricey, but if you can't do it. And they also, they have like, you know, just normal, like small, medium, large, extra large, all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have amazing suits and you can get colors, you can get like different pockets and different boots and stuff on them. They are the best. I haven't really had a bad experience with a dry suit. I don't really remember the ones that I would rent before I got my own, but those were old and stuff. There's definitely like Scuba Pro is good if you're on a budget for a dry suit. They offer good things. And I think there's a brand called SEAC or something like that, which was my dad's first dry suit. It's like as basic as it gets. I think it was like $700, maybe $800. And that's like super cheap for a dry suit. So I think that was like, you know, if you're on a budget, do that.
I know. I feel like everyone I've seen do dry suits online are always in the Fourth Element dive suits. I see them everywhere, so I assume they're actually, that doesn't mean anything, it could be that they're horrible but they just have really good marketing. But I would assume with great scuba diving like influencers wearing them that they might be pretty decent. But if, do people out here maybe wear Fourth Element, or have you ever thought of
Yeah, so I actually own a couple undergarments from Fourth Element, and they're really great. They keep me so warm, better than other brands that I've experienced with. I haven't really seen too many people dive in their dry suits, but mainly everyone here is obsessed with their undergarments. Mm-hmm. So I think people do love Fourth Element. It's a good brand. It's a very good brand.
Okay, very interesting. I just wanted to know. I'm not a cold water scuba diver. I'm barely a cold water diver. And so lastly, am I still there?
Yeah, sorry, you're
it. It said my, yeah. my internet was bad. Oh, annoying. Okay. Lastly, is there plug anything you want to plug? Like if there are brands, your own accounts, so I don't know, plug anything. I will add everything down in the description down below.
Thank you. Yeah, so mainly just my Instagram and TikTok at Diving with Bella on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me on there. I post videos, photos, experiences, and Yeah, if you ever have any questions about cold water diving or being in Seattle and diving around here, anyone can DM me and I will definitely answer you.
I will say your pictures of your, they're like, what are they called? Portraits while you're in like your scuba gear and it's like snowing. Those were very pretty. I was very obsessed with those.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. Yeah, I think when I posted that, Suunto, you know, they make the dive computers and stuff. They reposted it on their account and it got like 6,000 likes on their account. I think mine's at like 4,000, maybe a little bit more. I was like, oh my God, I was not expecting this, you guys.
It's a good, they're good pictures. They're very pretty. I just, and I thought, I think the snow, it just really made it. It was like, look, snow diving. Hello, beautiful. And then, yeah, your other photos are really good too. I like your octopus videos and I'm very excited to finally see some marine life in the water here. Yeah. I learned there are lump suckers here.
There are.
Have you seen them?
I have. Oh yes. I haven't had any luck with like taking photos of them yet, but they're so cute and I'm find them on rocks and stuff and they're so funny looking.
Do they like swim away or are they like curious little?
The ones that I've seen, they usually just like stay planted on their rock or wherever they're like stuck on. You can find them a lot on like pillars. If I'm diving under a dock, you know, big, you know, pillars in the water, that's the best place to find nudibranch, lump suckers, sea stars and stuff like that. So you will find your lump suckers.
Oh my gosh. I saw a video of lump suckers. I sent it to this girl I know that dives on Van Island. I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? These are here. These are here. Have you seen one? She's like, oh yeah, they're like totally a thing. I was like, I did not realize that they lived here. I don't know where I thought lump suckers lived, but I did not think it was here. I am now elated to see one. I think they're so ugly.
They're awful.
They're so weird.
Funny. They're so funny. Okay, honestly, all the animals here are so weird. Like wolf eels, they look like something out of a nightmare.
I've seen a video of a decapitated one biting into a can. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my gosh. It was like, it was a whole thing at one point, but I think it was in Norway, somewhere else cold, not the US. They had caught one and like decapitated it and were showing the bite power that they have, even without their body or life being dead. And they put like a whole, I think it was a beer can, in its mouth and it just reflexively slam down on it.
That's terrifying.
I'll have to find this video and send it to you and maybe I'll put it in the description because I was like, are these things mean? Because they seem really mean and eels in Hawaii are super mean.
Yeah, they are. Here actually you can go up to a wolf eel and pet it and it's like a dog. They're very friendly, very very friendly. Yeah, I have. The first time I dove Sun Rock, the first time I saw a adult wolf eel, because I've only seen like the juvenile ones and they're really tiny, but I like was next to it and I was, and you can like pet them and they love it. They love scratches.
That's so funny. So I think
it's so cute. Like, honestly, they seem terrifying and they are very ugly and awful looking creatures, but they're very sweet. Very sweet.
And now for real last time, have you seen a shark?
I have seen the shark here. I was diving a place called Redondo. And that's where a lot of people look for the six gills. We have a lot of, we don't have a lot of six gills here because they were hunted and fished pretty badly.
Yeah.
But once in a while in a blue moon, someone will see one and they will be thrilled. But I saw my first six gill and the only one I've seen to this day when I probably like in 2019 after we got our dry suit certification. I think my dad and I, we were only at like 30 feet of water and six gills, they live deep. And I think it was like fixing my GoPro or fixing my suit or something. And the six gill thing just right up to us, swam right up to us. And my dad like put his hand out to like guide it the other way. And he just like swam by and then he went back and turned around and went down back to the deeper section of the water. And we were like, what the heck? Because at the time I knew there's like sharks around here, but I never really thought like, oh my God, I might see a shark one day here.
Yeah.
I didn't even know six gills were a thing if I'm being honest, but we were in shock. Like, but it was like a happy shock. Like we were laughing and we were like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah. Well, I know about the six gills. I know about the salmon sharks. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I love them. But I recently learned there are sometimes you can see basking sharks up here in BC.
Yeah.
And I would die to see one.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? You would be so lucky if you saw one, because that's like a rare thing to see.
But I think salmon sharks look so funny. Do people see those on dives?
I haven't.
Okay. I don't know if that's like, I don't know how regular those are seen. I just love pictures of them.
They're very funny.
They look like stubby little great whites.
They're so cute.
Basically, if a great white juvenile gained weight in its face and then just stayed small, that's what I think salmon sharks look like.
No, I want to see one. I do too. I would love to see more sharks here. It's kind of a bummer that it was very overfished in these areas, because if I could see a shark at least once again here, I would be the happiest diver ever.
For anyone who's scared of sharks, this is the place to dive. You will be almost shark-free. The sharks you will see probably want literally nothing to do with you, seeing that most of their prey is probably not human-sized.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. Whereas, like, tiger sharks, they get, like, 16 foot. While they don't really eat people, they will scavenge off things as big as people. Yeah. But here, totally fine.
Totally fine. And you'll see the occasional like dogfish, and they're so cute and tiny and they're very shy. So if you want to dive somewhere where you are almost guaranteed not to see a shark like ever, Seattle, we don't have any sharks.
Colder water. Cause yeah, great whites don't come up. Great whites are like this weird middle ground. They don't like too warm. They don't like too cold.
Yeah.
They're Goldilocks.
They are.
California is like their sweet spot.
Oh my God, I would love to like be out on a dive and see a great white.
I want to do the cage dives in Guadalupe.
Oh yeah.
I think they're so cool. I would probably want to be in a cage though. I do not think I would free dive with a great white.
Yeah, it seems a bit
hard pass. You know,
as much as I love sharks, and I'm not very scared of sharks, that's easy to say unless you're in the water with a shark.
They're huge. They're so huge.
Oh my God.
Even with the tiger shark, I was like, huh?
Yeah, right. And people are always like, oh my God, you know, sharks are so big. Until you get in the water with them and you actually see this huge, massive animal looking at you, you're like, oh, they weren't kidding. They are big.
Yeah, especially freaking great whites. I know a lot of my friends want to free dive with a great white. And I'm like, I'll be on the boat or in the cage, just like, hello. That's so much fun. Not because I'm like, it's not like I think it's going to attack me. I just personally feel really intimidated by that size that I want to stay in a cage.
Yeah, and I get it. It's better, even if you're not, like, I don't think if I went swimming with a great white, it wouldn't eat me. It wouldn't bother me or anything like that. But it's better to be relaxed and calm.
Yeah, and know you're comfortable.
Yeah.
It makes a better experience for both of you. Like, if I was free diving, I feel like I would just be like freaking out and less able to just sit and enjoy and breathe steadily. I probably wouldn't even be able to like do anything because I'd just be like at the surface anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, I'd rather just be scuba diving.
Yeah, totally.
Where you can just sit.
Yeah. And I think people, you know, a lot of people who go cage diving or go free diving with sharks, and they're like, oh, I love sharks. And then they get in their water and start to panic because the shark is massive. Mm-hmm. That's when mistakes are made.
Yeah.
And things.
It's just good to take it slow.
It is,
even when being in the water, I've been in the water with people who are scared of sharks. And you just got to like slowly bring them in.
Yeah.
And you just hold on to a rope.
Mm-hmm.
You just get used to it. And it's totally peaceful. But definitely like there are just some species that are just very large that it's just like.
Yeah, it's very intimidating. I did
okay to see you from afar.
Yeah, I did whale shark dives in Cancun before I even got certified for scuba or anything like that. And I wasn't nervous because they're whale sharks.
Sure.
Very sweet and docile. But I got in the water and I was like, oh my God, they weren't kidding when they said they're the size of a bus.
Yeah.
That was not a joke. They're huge. They're very massive.
Well, same as like with whales. Like I want to dive with whales, but people are like, oh, they're really nice, but like, if somehow you accidentally got hit with their fin, you're dead.
Yeah, honestly.
I was like, oh, good point there. Yeah, you're really peaceful, but your power, like if something did piss you, nothing, this hasn't happened, right? Like,
yeah, no.
I think the most something's happened to someone with like a baleen whale has been the guy who accidentally got scooped up by the, was that a blue whale? What was it?
I think it was baleen.
But yeah, it was some kind of like baleen whale. Basically, it was like a scuba diver filming in a pool of fish.
Yeah.
And the whale came up. It's such a funny video. Came up and like grabbed him. And you can see him just go into its mouth. He got spit out. No need to worry.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I wasn't going to eat him.
Yeah, that's like the worst I feel like could happen. Besides getting hit with a tail on accident. Yeah. But generally marine mammals that are bigger, like... Generally, marine mammals keep a distance, but not always. Like, dolphins get really close sometimes. Mm-hmm. Gray whales in Mexico will come up and, like, get pet.
Yes, on boats. I kind of want to do that.
I've gotten tagged in a bunch of those videos where they're like, this is wrong. Like, you can't touch them. And I have to be like, technically, no, this is legal.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Mexico does not have our Marine Mammal Protection Act. Mm-hmm. And the gray whales seek out the boats. You can decide if you want to go or not.
Yeah.
But technically, you telling this page that they're breaking the law is wrong.
It's very wrong. Yeah. Would you do it?
I don't know. I feel like if I did, I've had friends that have gone, but I really want to make sure I go with a good company.
Oh, definitely.
Because there is just like touching. There are things like, then I mean, nothing negative's happened yet. And a lot of people are like, well, touching them, they're going to like start approaching boats and there'll be like an increase in boat strike deaths, and there hasn't been a correlation with the individuals in the lagoon and boat strikes. Although I am wondering if like in 10 years there'll be a study and learn something, but as of now there's no studies that show that any of this is bad for the animal. I think if you're properly like washing your hands after you pet them, I've seen people like pet the baleen and I don't know how I feel about that.
I also understand
like it's tent, like it's right there.
Yeah, like it is very tempting. It's always very tempting to have encounters with marine life like that. Like you want to touch them, you want to feel them and stuff. I don't know if I would go for the baleen though. That seems a little.
Yeah, and I'd probably just like touch the head. And it doesn't always happen too. That's the thing, is they'll get close to the boats, but petting isn't always like gonna happen.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's the thing. But it is really cool, and I do think that like, they're smaller boats. They're not having like huge like rudders that's gonna like hit the animal. Animal gets close, like you can obviously tell because there's a big old gray whale.
Huge animal.
And you're on a little dinghy.
You're okay.
And so yeah, I definitely think it's interesting. And I know some friends that want to go and do it, but I don't know yet. I have no idea. I'm still kind of like, I need to do more research into the different organizations down there. And I was trying to look up, I wasn't looking up for like negative stuff, but I was trying to see if anything had happened. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to find anything, and I messaged some other like marine mammal researchers and they were like, I think it's fine, technically nothing's come out yet. But you know, we may see one day.
I mean, and accidents can happen, especially if it's involving a huge animal that is completely out of your control, so it is kind of a at your own risk thing at the time, I feel like, for right now. But yeah, we'll see if there's any research that comes out, like you said, in 10 years, because that's kind of when we might start to see stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's my, I was like, what if someone's like researching now and in like 5 years or something there'll be a study that's like, oh, touching these whales has been linked to some kind of disease, blah blah blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like, I can't say that they're bad yet, because there has been no direct proof of correlation of human touch, human interaction on these gray whales, because it's also like different populations, so you can't blanket statement and say like all gray whales, because not all gray whales go to this lagoon.
And I think just anything that has to do with animals, touching animals, training animals, there's always a like a pro and con list with it. Sometimes the cons outweigh the pros, and that sometimes pros outweigh the cons. So I think if you know people want to do it or do anything related with marine mammals, do your research on both sides of the spectrum, because I think that's very important.
My last questions really were obviously doing great getting segued, but thank you so much for coming on. I really like the perspective. I don't think I've talked about scuba diving yet, which is great, because I've basically talked about freediving, or just not even diving at all, just science, which is great, because scuba, a lot of people want to scuba dive, so thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I love doing stuff like this.
Can find Bella linked down below and everything we mentioned. I will find the video of the wolf eel, and maybe I'll, if I have room, I'll add the guy getting swallowed by the whale.
Thank God, yes.
Just in case no one's seen them. I think I've seen them, but maybe other people haven't, which is just weird to me.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm on weird areas of Facebook, so, you know. All right. Well, thank you,
there you go.
So much.
Thank you so much.
And let's I will talk
to you soon.
Yes. And then I will talk to everyone else on the next episode.